and life's burdens get so heavy, and it seems I'm all alone. I cast my care on Jesus and come boldly to His throne. I find His grace sufficient when His promises I heed. For His very life He sacrificed, and He lives to intercede. He is the Lord of lords, and when He speaks, winds and waves obey. When Jesus whispers, peace be still, then darkness turns to day. And as I'm trusting in my Savior's word, doubts and fears all cease. And beneath the shelter of His wings, I'm at rest in perfect peace. I will seek for souls in darkness, Calvary's love with them to share. Empowered by God's Spirit, I will follow anywhere. For I know whatever befall me, my Lord is in control. And as my mind is stayed on Him, perfect peace He gives my soul. He gives me peace. He is the Lord of lords. And when He speaks, winds and waves obey. When Jesus whispers, peace be still, then darkness turns to day. And as I'm trusting in my Savior's word, doubts and fears all cease. And beneath the shelter of His wings, I'm at rest.
Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you for that special. That was a good special for us this morning. Please open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22 in your Bible. This week as I was walking through the lobby, I saw the sign-up sheet for the ski trip. And teenagers, I encourage you to go skiing on the youth group activity this month. Aaron, I was thinking about you this morning. I was thinking about last year's ski trip. Aaron went skiing for the first time last year and spent 3 hours on the beginner hill. And Aaron's body was imprinted all the way down the beginner hill. And you could tell every place that Aaron had fallen. But I'm proud of Aaron. Last year, Aaron learned how to ski, and he fell down probably around 40 times and got back up. He conquered the bunny hill and moved on to the bigger hill. And Aaron, I remember that. But teenagers, I encourage you, if you've never gone skiing before, honestly, it is a lot of fun after the first time, after you get the hang of it. But I encourage you to be a part of that activity. I do want to thank Pastor for the opportunity to preach in case he listens to the recording. Pastor, thank you for allowing me to fill the pulpit and preach. Pastor traveled 493 miles south for a revival, and this morning at 9 o'clock, it had snowed 2 inches at that point. So I texted Pastor and said, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow, just teasing him. But honestly, seriously, pray for the weather and pray that folks will come to the revival, and please keep Pastor in your prayers for that revival. Okay, 1 Kings 22. And verse number 5, go ahead and stand with me for the reading of God's word. And I would ask you to join me on the odd verses on verse 5 and verse number 7. And we're going to start off with 4 verses. And once again, we are in 1 Kings 22, verses 5 through 8. And if you could read with me in verses 5 and 7. Let's begin in verse number 5. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy concerning good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Today the title of our message is Approaching God's Word. Approaching God's Word. Let's pray. And as I pray, I encourage you to pray silently that God would speak to your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for the chance to be in church this morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, Lord. What an encouragement for the church family to come together on a Sunday morning. And I pray, God, that you would please give me the words to say as I preach this morning. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. Do a work in our lives. I pray for pastors. He preaches this morning, this revival. And I pray, God, that it would be a good revival and that your work would be done at Bethel Baptist Church. And Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Now we humbly ask you to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. In this chapter of the Bible begins with a description of peace. For 3 years, there had been peace between Israel and Syria. But that peace was not going to last. Very soon, the peace was going to be broken. The Bible says that a good king, King Jehoshaphat, came down to visit King Ahab. King Ahab, of course, being a sinful king, a wicked king. And as Jehoshaphat, the good king, is visiting with Ahab, he overhears a conversation that Ahab is having. And I want to say this. Why don't we turn there? Turn to 2 Chronicles 19, verses 1 and 2. And this really sheds some light on 1 Kings 22. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and look at verses 1 and 2. And this is a confrontation that King Jehoshaphat has with a prophet after he spends time with Ahab. 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verses 1 and 2. Look at these two verses. It says, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate God? Therefore is the wrath of the Lord upon thee from before the Lord. Now, please turn back to 1 Kings 22, because we'll be looking in 1 Kings 22 for the remainder of the message. But we see that King Jehoshaphat made a mistake. He's spending time with someone who's wicked. He's spending time with someone who hates God. The Bible says about Ahab that he served Baal and he worshipped Baal. And Jehoshaphat here, this good king, is spending time with the wrong person. This is a side note. This is not the main thrust of the message. But can I say to you this morning, we need to be careful who our friends are. We need to be careful who we spend time with. We need to be careful who we give our heart to. We need to be careful of the things that we get involved in, because this good king almost gets sidelined from God's will because of a bad friendship. So King Jehoshaphat is speaking and he's listening, and all of a sudden King Ahab starts talking about the city of Ramoth-Gilead. He starts talking to his servants and he says, hey, don't you guys know that Ramoth-Gilead is ours? We should go and take the city. We should go and take this city away from the Syrians. The city of Ramoth-Gilead was a very important city. It was a very strategic city. History tells us that this was a fortified city. If somebody had control of the city, it was difficult for somebody else to take it away. The city of Ramoth-Gilead was right on the border between Israel and Syria. And if someone had control of this city, they felt like they had the upper hand. King Jehoshaphat begins to listen to King Ahab. And he listens to him talk to his generals and listens to him talk to his officers. And King Jehoshaphat steps forward and he had a different approach to the word of God than Ahab did. King Jehoshaphat said, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. What King Jehoshaphat was saying is, he was saying, Ahab, I know what you think about this battle, but let's find out what God thinks about the battle. Hey, King Ahab, I know what you're thinking, and I know what's in your heart, but why don't we find out what's in God's heart? I know what you want to do, but before we do what you want to do, let's find out what God wants to do. And in this chapter, you have an ungodly king with the wrong approach to the word of God. And then you have a godly king who's saying, hey, right away, first thing, we should inquire at God. And I want to remind us this morning that how we approach the word of God is very important. Our approach to God's word matters. Have you ever known someone that had the wrong approach and they ended up with the wrong outcome? Your approach affects the outcome. And I want to say this, when you're having personal devotions, when you come to your Bible, your mindset, your approach to the Bible is important when you read God's word. When we have family devotions and we get the family together and we read the Bible as a family and pray and we sing, hey, our approach to family devotions is important. Our approach to church, our mindset when we come to church, when we go to Sunday school, or when we're in the main service to hear preaching, how we approach the Word of God is very important. If you have the wrong approach, we may end up with the wrong outcome. Before I came on staff here at the church, when Abby and I first came here, for 2.5 years I was working at a warehouse in Joliet and Saddle Creek Corporation. And for 2 of those years I was in the Honda department. So we had lawnmowers, we had generators, and we also had motorcycles. And the motorcycles would come in crates, and you had to be very careful picking up a motorcycle with a forklift. And so one of our operators was named Maurice. He was a very gifted forklift operator. He was very good at stacking the motorcycles 6 high, and he was very gifted. But Maurice struggled with his approach to coming to work. One day, Maurice was coming. He lived in Chicago. He started driving to Joliet, had about an hour drive. He was a little bit behind. So he started speeding. He was breaking the speed limit. Sure enough, he got pulled over and got a speeding ticket. He gets that first ticket. He's like, okay, he was determined to make it to work on time. He keeps driving down the highway, and he checks his mirrors. He starts speeding again, gets pulled over a second time, gets a second speeding ticket. So he goes through that, gets that ticket, gets back, starts driving again, checks his mirrors. He started speeding again. He got a third speeding ticket. 3 tickets in 1 commute, 1 way to work. And then when he got to work, there was a guard shack. Our warehouse was surrounded by a fence. There was a guard shack, and there was a crossbar that would block any vehicles from coming in. We had to scan our badge. And he had a brand new Chevy Malibu. Or no, it was a Chevy Impala. That's what it was. Brand new Chevy Impala, beautiful car. And he went like this with his badge, but he didn't extend his badge far enough, and the crossarm didn't come up, and he gunned it in his brand new car and ripped off the crossbar. He came into work, and after all that, he was still late for work. He punched in late, and he went in, and I kid you not, he was very upset. He cussed out one of his coworkers. He started unloading a semi-trailer. He started making a lot of mistakes. It was a very bad day for Maurice at work. You know what the problem was? His approach was all wrong. And I want to say this. That's an extreme example of the approach. But let me say this morning. Your approach sometimes affects the outcome. How we approach something is very, very important. The wrong approach produces the wrong outcome. Okay, concerning how we approach the Word of God, number one, the priority of our approach to God's Word. The priority of our approach to God's Word. Well, we see in verse number 5, our text verse, King Jehoshaphat said, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the Word of the Lord today." Whenever you and I come to the Word of God, we should always view the Word of God as a priority in our life. The priority is what comes first. The priority is what needs to come before other things. The priority is what is important. In this passage, God's Word was not a priority to King Ahab, but it was a priority to Jehoshaphat. Ahab wanted to talk to his servants about taking the city. He wanted to talk to the king of Judah about taking the city. And he wanted to talk to the generals, but it was not a priority for Ahab to hear what God had to say. But here comes King Jehoshaphat from a different angle and says, hey, inquire at the word of the Lord today. King Ahab, even more than you need to hear from the generals and from the servants, you need to hear from God. And I want to encourage us this morning, as we come to the Word of God this year, let's view the Word of God as a priority in our life. In the area of personal devotions, let me encourage you, we need to have the mindset that God's Word is a priority in our life. when you wake up in the morning, it's good to have the mindset, before I hear what my emails have to say, and before I turn on the radio and hear what the media has to say, before I find out what my friends have to say, the first thing I want to do is find out what God has to say. Making God's word a priority. Think with me about the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 119, starting in verse 9. As he prays and as he seeks the Lord, we can see in his prayer the priority of the word of God in his heart. The psalm goes, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." And he goes on to say, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Bless me, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all of thy testimonies." And it goes on to talk about meditating in the word of God. He said, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." He said, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word." And then he says that prayer, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Can I tell you that for that psalmist, that the word of God had become a priority in his life, that he had established a spiritual discipline in his life, that every day he was seeking the word of God. He didn't have the mindset, you know, if I have time, I might read the Bible today. That was not the psalmist's attitude. No, he was going to delight in God's word. He was going to meditate in God's word. He was going to rejoice in God's word. The word of God was a priority in his life. And let me encourage us today to make God's word a priority in our lives this year. Let me remind you today, we all need to have a time that we read the word of God every day. When is your time that you read the Bible? Hey, the best time to read God's word is in the morning. And even if you say, "Brother Allen, I'm not a morning person. My brain is more activated at night." And hey, I understand that. Some people read their Bible at night. Even if you read the Bible in the evening, get a little bit of scripture in the morning. Even if it's just a few verses, hey, we need to be in the Word of God. Hey, before the busyness of the day starts to take place, read the Bible. Before you face temptations throughout the day, get in the Bible. Before you face the challenges of the day and you are confronted by a sinful world, be in the Bible. Make it a priority. Where is your place of reading the Bible? Maybe it's in the recliner, in the living room. Maybe it's right after you grab a cup of coffee. Maybe it's at the kitchen table. But I want to encourage you this morning to make that time and make that place a priority in your Christian life. There's a young adult lady in the church who's going on a media fast this month. My wife was telling me about it, one of the young adult ladies in the church. And she's not listening to any podcasts for the month of January. She's tuning out the podcast, but you know what she's tuning into? The Godcast. She's saying, "Hey, I'm tuning out the media this month, but I'm tuning into the message of God." She said, "I'm going to take a break from all the other outside voices. And for 1 month, I'm going to make sure that I start out the year making the word of God a priority in my life." Abby started telling me about that, and I started thinking about that, and I thought, wow, what a great way to start off the year with a media fast, seeking the Lord. Hey, that's a blessing. You know what that is? That's making God's word a priority. I want to say this in personal devotions. Let's make God's word a priority. Also, when it comes to family devotions, dads, it's still good to have the mindset this year that when we're not having church, when it's not a church day, when it's not a Sunday and it's not a Wednesday, that we get our families together for a little bit and we open the word of God and we teach the Bible to our kids. What a good priority to have. And I'm excited. Hey, I'm excited about this year's theme about the family. As for me and my house, and Pastor has kind of given us a preview of some of his preaching. Hey, we're going to get some helpful preaching this year about family devotions. I'm looking forward to it. Boy, I want my family devotions to be strengthened. I'm looking forward to hearing the messages that Pastor is going to bring to us. And I want to remind us, church, that we need to have family devotions in 2022. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these commandments which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And you know what the next verse says? It says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt teach them diligently of thy children." And the next verse and the next part of that verse says, "And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy thine house. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou riseth up. Hey, Moses taught the children of Israel that it was the responsibility of the dads in the home to open the Word of God and make it a priority. We need to make the Word of God a priority in our home. Man, what an opportunity. Hey, family devotions don't have to be a long, drawn-out thing. Hey, it can be 5 minutes. It can be 8 minutes. But just getting the kids to calm down and say, hey, right now, we're going to read the Bible. Right now, we're going to pray. We're going to sing one song. We're going to worship God. Right now, we're going to pray together as a family. We're going to seek the Lord. Let me encourage you this morning. Make family devotions a priority this year. Church, what a blessing to be in church. I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity as Christians to dedicate the first day of the week to God. What a blessing. Sunday is not my day and Sunday is not your day. Hey, we know that Sunday, whose day is it? The Lord's day. That's what the Word of God says. Hey, what a blessing. Sunday is the day of corporate worship, group worship. Everyone comes together and sings and we sing praises to God. It's a time of corporate prayer where we can seek the Lord and we can pray for one another. We can come and do business at the altar. And it's a time of corporate fellowship where we're encouraged and iron sharpeneth iron. But I want to remind you today that it's not just corporate worship and corporate prayer and corporate fellowship. It is corporate learning and growth in the Word of God. And we need to make church a priority this year. What a blessing that we read scripture after scripture in the New Testament of church being a priority. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, Paul preached unto them. 2 Corinthians 2 verses 4 and 5, Paul said, and my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I am thankful for the preaching that we hear at Faith Baptist Church. Thank God for pastor. Thank God for our pastor who studies the Word of God and prays for the members and has a hunger and has a desire and has a yearning to get the message from God so that he can give it to the people of God. Hey, thank God that every week he opens up God's Word and he preaches and he says, and we know based on hearing the messages that he has sought the Lord. Thank God for that. Hey, we need to make preaching. We need to make teaching. We need to make church a priority. Boy, it's a wonderful thing when young people wake up on Sunday morning and they don't even ask mom and dad, what are we doing today? That's a great day. You know why? Because it's clicked in their mind. It's the Lord's day. I know what we're doing today. Woo! I might as well not even bring it up to dad. Pretty soon he's going to be telling me to get my tie on, get my shoes. Hey, that's a good thing. Hey, we ought to prioritize church this year and we will be blessed. I want to encourage you. God has some truth for your life this year, and he wants to give it to you at church. There is truth that we need from God's word at church, the priority of our approach. Let's make the Word of God a priority. Number two, the intention of our approach. The intention of our approach. In verse number 8, look at our text verse in 1 Kings 22, and look at verse number 8. Look at the middle of the verse. And look at the intention that Ahab had. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there's yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. Look what he said. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me. The intention of King Ahab was wrong when he approached the word of God. The intention is the object or the aim. The intention is what you are trying to accomplish. It's frustrating for a school teacher when she starts out her school day. And I want you to think with me, you have two students and they come to school and they're in class. And think about this. You can have two students that have the same smarts. They have the same IQ level. They go into the same class. They're in the same school. They both have the same teacher. They're both learning the same subject, but they both go to school. Listen now, with two different intentions. And one student has the intention, you know what? I'm going to learn today. I'm going to learn something today. And they go to school with the right mindset. The second student comes in, and sometimes, unfortunately, this was me in school. I'm going to have fun today. I'm going to goof off. I'm going to see what I can get away with. And you know what? Honestly, that's the wrong approach. That's the wrong intention. You can have those two students. One of them is going to get more out of it than the other one, the one with the right intention. Ahab heard the word of God, but we can ask this question as we look at King Ahab. What is King Ahab trying to accomplish by hearing the word of God? We read the verse that said that King Ahab gathered 400 prophets together, and it is amazing. 400 prophets said the exact same thing. Okay, you know, there's a problem right there. If 400 preachers agree about something, there's trouble right there. But you know what King Ahab wanted to hear? He wanted to hear something good. You know why he didn't want to hear Micaiah? He said, he doesn't prophesy. It's three words. Good concerning me. That's what Ahab was interested in. Good concerning me. You know what he wanted to hear? He wanted to hear something good about his life. Ahab was not interested in the word of God directing his decisions. He wanted to direct his own decisions and then feel good about the decisions he had made. He had the wrong intention. And by the way, Ahab found what he was looking for. Now, it's amazing. Look at verse number 19 with me. We're in 2 Kings 22 and verse number 19. We see this conversation in heaven of how this played out. Look at verse number 19. And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner." Look at what it says in verse 21. "And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him." Look at verse 22. "And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and being a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets." I believe if you compare this chapter to Job chapter 1, you would come to the conclusion that that was a demonic spirit. And think about this. A spirit of deception came over the prophets of Israel, and they all told King Ahab a lie. And that was exactly what King Ahab wanted to hear. Look at verse number 12. It's interesting. The false prophets gave a message of prosperity. It's 1 Kings 22 and verse number 12. "And all the prophets prophesied, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead," and what's the next word? Prosper. Prosper. Oh, man, this message of prosperity. Go ahead. You want to go and take Ramoth Gilead? Go and prosper. Something good is going to happen to you. And let me challenge us this morning. There is a lot of people in America today that are interested in a message of prosperity. The prosperity gospel. Follow Jesus and ask Jesus to make you healthy. Follow Jesus and ask Jesus to make you wealthy. Follow Jesus. Hey, come to church and receive a good message. But I want to challenge us this morning. We need to have the right intention when we come to church. I'm glad that's not what we hear week in, week in, and week out. We don't hear the prosperity gospel. We hear the truth. But Ahab rejected the whole counsel of God. He didn't listen to Micaiah. Micaiah came before him. Look at verse number 13. "And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." He literally told Micaiah what he wanted to hear. "Micaiah, listen, everyone else has given a positive message. So just get in line and say something good." And Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." So he came to the king, verse 15, and the king said unto him, "Micaiah, shall we go up to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered, "Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." Now, when you read this chapter, you really think that Micaiah is kind of a smart aleck, amen? Because that's not really the message that God had given him. In verse 17, he gives the real message. Look what he says. And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master." When King Ahab heard the true word of the Lord, he commanded them to take Micaiah and have him thrown in prison, and to have him, that they were supposed to give him the bread of affliction and the water of affliction. King Ahab rejected the message of God. Hey, we don't want to make that same mistake that King Ahab made when we approach the Bible. We need to have the right intention as we come to God's word. Now, there's a lot of positive messages in the Bible, amen? There's a lot of good stuff, and thank God for it. We hear preaching, and we read the Bible, and we hear about the encouraging things, the promise of God's love. Think about Romans chapter 8 at the end of that chapter when it talks about God's love and how encouraging that is. Thank God for the encouraging message of the Bible. Thank God for the promise of the Holy Spirit and the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the fellowship that we have within the church and all of the blessings, the spiritual inheritance that God has given to us. But I also want to remind us there are positive messages of blessings, but the Bible is also full of warnings. Hey, the Bible is full of warnings of sin that we should avoid, dangers in the Christian life, areas that we should be careful. And sometimes the Word of God brings conviction. Sometimes the Word of God leads us to a repentance of sin. Sometimes it convicts. We're convicted of our need to serve God. Sometimes we hear preaching or we read the Word of God and we're convicted of our need to witness and tell others about Christ. And hey, but this is the approach that we should have when it comes to the Bible. God, I want you to accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished in my life. That should be our approach. And hey, if it's comfort, then great. Hey, we've all had the experience of coming into church and maybe being a little bit down or maybe being in kind of a fog and kind of being discouraged about something. And man, the Bible is open and there's a prayer and then we start hearing the Word and the Word of God helps us. The Word of God's strength. Thank God for that. Sometimes that's what we need. But sometimes we sit in church or we read the Bible and we hear preaching and we get convicted and we think, oh, well, I need to pray about that. Boy, there's a correction that I need to make in my life. Let me challenge you today. Let's approach God's Word with, Lord, whatever you need to accomplish in my life, please help. Please accomplish that. Hey, when you come to your devotions, remember that God wants to transform us through His Word. Romans 12:1 says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't go along with all the things of the world. But how do we resist that? And be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, you know what Alan Miller needs on a daily basis? I need some spiritual transformation. I need some spiritual renewal. I need some spiritual help. And sometimes it's encouragement. And sometimes it's, oh, Lord, thank you for my... And sometimes it's conviction. Sometimes it's correction. But hey, let me remind you today that God wants to transform us through His Word. What an opportunity. How do we live the Christian life how we're supposed to live it? By being daily renewed and daily transformed by the Word of God. When we read the Word of God, we find promises that we can claim. When we read the Word of God, we find Bible characters who went through challenging situations and we see the grace of God working in their life. We read the Bible and we see prayers that were answered. We read the Bible, we hear preaching, and we see helpful things in our Christian life. Let me challenge you to approach God's Word with the right intention. Hey, when it comes to family devotions, we need to approach family devotions with the right intention. Dads, how have you been approaching family devotions? What is our goal? What is our intention? I want to remind us today that God wants to help our families through His Word when we come together for family devotions. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, the Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be both glory both now and forever. Amen. Family devotions is an opportunity for us as a family to grow in grace, to grow in the knowledge of God. Hey, when you come to church, what is our intention? When we come to church and we hear the Word of God preached, we need to come to church with the right intention. God wants to accomplish something in our life when we come to church. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thank God for Bible preaching. Thank God for the opportunity to come and hear preaching. When we hear preaching from pastor, or we hear preaching for whoever has pastor fill the pulpit, we get to hear sound doctrine when we come to church. Thank God for that. Doctrine. What is right? When we hear preaching, we hear sometimes a reproof. What is not right? What to stay away from? When we hear preaching, we hear correction. How to get something right in our life. We hear instruction in righteousness. And that is how to stay right. And by the way, if we allow preaching to do what God wants it to do in our life, it will help us with that outcome, that the man of God may be perfect. That's complete. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Men, I want to challenge us today. We need the men of Faith Baptist Church. We need a purpose to be men of God this year in 2022. You may say, Brother Allen, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. I'm not an evangelist. You don't have to be a pastor and you don't have to be a missionary and you don't have to be an evangelist to be a man of God. We need to be men of God. Ladies, we need the ladies of Faith Baptist Church to be women of God this year and to seek the Lord. Hey, as you approach church, let's have the right approach as we come to hearing the Word of God. One practice that I have found helpful as I'm on my way to church, as I'm driving to church. Now, before I came on staff, we used to take the girls to Dunkin' Donuts, amen, and get some donuts and some coffee before church on Sunday morning. And when Pops was still with us, we used to go visit Pops at the nursing home. Then we would come here. And we had a very fun Sunday morning routine. Go out and get some donuts, have some coffee, come over to church. But something that helped me with my mindset of church and with my intention of church is praying in the vehicle and asking God to speak to my heart at church. And I would pray out loud as I was driving. I keep my eyes open, amen, and focus on the road. But I would start to pray and say, Lord, we're on our way to church. Lord, would you please speak to my heart today at church? Help me in Sunday school. Help me in the main service. God, please do a work in my life. And Lord, please work in Abby's heart, in Abby's life. Lord, you know she's backslidden again. And Lord, please help Kennedy. Oh, Lord, where do I begin? Finley. Finley is the sweet one, Lord, but Finley still gets into trouble now and then. No, I'm just joking. But you know what? I would pray over my family. You know why? Because I want to be changed at church. I want church to change me. I need to be changed. Hey, we haven't arrived. We're not where God wants us to be. We're still being molded into the image of Christ. And hey, that's a good practice to be in, to pray. You know what that helps us? It helps us have the right intention from the Word of God, the priority of our approach, the intention of our approach. And number three, I want to say this is our last point, the emotion of our approach to God's Word. The emotion of our approach to God's Word. In verse number 8 in our text verse, King Ahab said about the prophet, he said, I hate him. We see a strong emotion demonstrated by Ahab's words. I hate him. Emotions are the language of the heart. Now, please listen to this statement. Emotions follow decisions. Emotions follow decisions. Say it with me. Emotions follow decisions. I'm gonna illustrate this. Brother Todd, would you please help me, brother? And Trace, would you please help me? Brother Todd, would you stand right here? And Trace, would you stand right here? Okay, so we're going to illustrate this with a son and his dad. So Trace, as he is growing up in his home, by the way, I appreciate Trace. Loves the Lord. He's a good guy. And so Trace, as he is growing up, he has three responsibilities towards his dad, right? He is to obey his dad. He is to do what his dad tells him to do. He is to respect his dad. He is to view his dad as a God-given authority. And he is to honor his dad. He needs to do what his dad wants him to do. Now, here's a question I have for you. If Trace, during his teenage years, obeys his dad and honors his dad and respects his dad when he is 18 and headed off to college, what emotion is going to be in his heart towards his dad? Love or hatred? Love. And you know what? He won't be able to help it. You know why? Because his emotions will follow his decisions. Now, let's flip it around, though. What if Trace disobeys his dad and doesn't do what his dad asks him to do? What if he dishonors his dad and takes pleasure in disappointing him? Man, what if he just ignores what his dad wishes? When he's 18 years old and he's about to head off to college, what emotion is going to be in Trace's heart, love or hatred? Hatred. And let me say this, he won't be able to help it because his emotions will follow his decisions. Thank you. I appreciate that. You guys can sit down. But here's what I'm trying to say. Ahab hated the Word of God. You know why? Because he had made so many decisions and the Word of God was not a priority. The Word of God, he was not really interested in the intention of God's Word. And all of a sudden, towards the end of his life, his emotions catch up with his decisions. Now, here's why this is important. Okay? I'm not saying that we should live our Christian life based on emotions. We know we're not supposed to do that. But I want to remind us today that emotions follow decisions. Is there an emotional love in your heart today towards God? And I want to say this, there should be. And I believe with all my heart that there is, okay? But here's what I'm saying. You know what happens to us sometimes? You know what happens to Brother Allen sometimes? Our heart gets cold. Man, all of a sudden we get indifferent to the Word of God. Man, it doesn't mean as much as it used to. Or, man, maybe we're just, there's not that passion in our heart, in our life. And I want to encourage us. The Bible says there is a remedy for coldness. If we're, I don't know your heart, but maybe God's Word has become kind of cold in your life. You know what we can do? We can make God's Word a priority. every day. We can open up that word and make it a priority in our life. We can have the intention for God to speak to our heart. And here's what encourages my heart. If you do that day after day and week after week, if the Word of God is a priority in your life and you come to it with the intention of God changing you, you know what's going to happen eventually? Your emotion is going to catch up with your decision. And you can approach the Word of God with a love in your heart and a desire in your heart. Hey, it's good to wake up in the morning and go to your place of Bible reading and sit down and open the Word of God and feel in your heart, I love this book. Hey, it's good to get the family together for family devotions, to sit down and you open the Bible, you're going to read 10 verses to your kids, you're going to pray, you're going to sing, and to feel in your heart, I love sharing the Word of God with my kids. It's good to come to church and you're coming to church in the car and you're anticipating what you're going to hear. You're anticipating seeing the church family. You're anticipating hearing from God's Word. Man, it's good when you're on your way to church and you can say in your heart, God, I love church. I'm excited. I want you to work in my heart today. Hey, when we grow cold, you know what we need to do? We need to make God's Word a priority. We need to come to God's Word with the right intention. And eventually, our emotions will catch up with our decisions. The Bible says in Psalms, my hot was heart within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Psalm 42, 1 and 2, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth after my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I'll close with this true story. In 1839, there was a man named William Mackey who was about to go to college. He was 17 years old. And, you know, truthfully, the Word of God will not be a priority in our life if we're not saved. We've got to be saved in order for it to be a priority. He was about to go to college, and his mom was very worried about him, and he was lost. And the very last thing that his mother did for him was she got him a brand new Bible, and she wrote her name in the Bible. She wrote his name in the Bible, and then she wrote John 3:16. She handed him that Bible, and he went off to college. William got with the wrong crowd, started drinking in college, and got away from God and forsook the teaching that he had been brought up with. He graduated from medical college, became a very successful medical doctor. And one day he was tending to a patient who was about to die. And the patient who was just about to die asked for the book. Now, when William was in college, he had sold his Bible. That way he could buy alcohol with the money. And so for many years, he didn't have his Bible. He sold it at a pawn shop. This man's about to die, and he says, give me the book. They brought him the book, and William asked the nurse, what book was he asking for? And the nurse said he was asking for a Bible. That man was a Christian. William walked over to the Bible, and he opened the Bible, and he saw his name and his mother's name and John 3:16. And he thought about how he had forsaken the Word of God, and on that day, he accepted Christ as his Savior. He became a pastor, and he wrote the song, Revive Us Again. And everything changed in his life when he made God's Word a priority. If you're not saved today, be saved today. Trust Christ. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around, heads bowed and eyes closed. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you today can raise your hand because you're saved and you know it? Please raise your hand if you're saved and you know it. You know that you've trusted Christ. I see those hands. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've never put your trust in Christ. Let me encourage you today. If you're not saved, be saved. God wants you to be saved. I'd like to pray for you if you're not saved. No one's looking around. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. If you're not sure that you're saved, would you raise your hand this morning? I'm not going to embarrass you. I see that hand. I encourage you to talk to your dad about that. A young child has raised their hand. Anyone else not sure that they're saved? Maybe at some point in the message, God spoke to your heart in some way, shape, or form. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if God nudged your heart, spoke to your heart, would you raise your hand as a testimony of that, that God spoke to your heart in the message? I see those hands. I see those hands. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're here today and you've never been baptized. You need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Today you can take care of that. We have everything ready. Is there anyone here that would raise their hand because they need to follow the Lord in baptism? Maybe it's church membership. Maybe you need to join the church today. If you've been saved and you've been baptized and you'd like to become a member, just come forward when the piano, when the instruments begin to play, and speak to one of these men down here about joining the church. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. And as Miss Naomi begins to play, the invitation is open. If you need to come and talk to the Lord, do business with the Lord today. Is the Word of God a priority in your life? Have you been coming to the Word of God with the right intention? How has God's Word been speaking to you? How we need the Word of God. We need it to be a priority. We need to come to it with a heart that is desiring for God to speak. How about it today? There's still time to come. Others have come. If you need to come and pray, I encourage you, do business with the Lord today. Take your time at the altar. Don't feel as if you're in a rush this morning. How about it today? Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you need to come forward and trust Christ. Whatever God wants to do in your life, let me encourage you. Talk to the Lord about it. Make a decision. Seek the Lord.